Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious families in the room, for those that are listening on the phone, on the radio, and also later in the recording. Sabbath blessing to each and every one of you and your family on this May 7, 2016. I just want to make a small announcement. The study that we are going to discuss today was the study that we were supposed to have on April 30th. So I hope and pray that all of you all have the material that was sent prior, and let us begin. This is lesson 177. Can everyone see the PowerPoint presentation in the room, dear ones? Praise the Lord. We are in chapter 37, entitled The First Evangelist. This is part 5. The opening hymn of our study today, it's entitled Savior Teach Me, and you can find this particular hymn in number 193 in the book, if you have it. Savior, teach me day by day, love's sweet lesson to obey. Sweeter lesson cannot be, loving him who first loved me. With a child's glad heart of love, at thy bidding may I move, prompt to serve and follow thee, loving him who first loved me. Teach me I am not my own, I am thine and thine alone. Thine to keep, to rule, to save from all sin that would enslave. Love in loving finds employed, in obedience all her joy. Ever knew that joy will be loving him who first loved me. Teach me thus thy steps to trace, strong to follow in thy grace. Learning how to love from thee, loving him who first loved me. Loving him who first loved me. Praise the Lord. Before we begin our study, I would like to ask any of the precious little one, mommy or daddy, that would like to have opening prayer. Babala.
God, and to keep me safe, we hope to go in heaven and pray for God, and that you can peace for us.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. The opening scripture for our study today is taken from the book of Romans, chapter 14, verse 19, from the King James Version, and read, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherein one may edify another." This Sabbath, boys and girls, mommies and daddies, we will continue with part 5 of our lesson entitled The First Evangelist in our study book, Desire of Ages. If any one of the dear family would like to take the following verses, blah, blah.
Sabbath blessing, everyone. Matthew 10:24. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. Matthew 10:25. And it's enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them that of his household? Matthew 10:26. Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. Amen.
Matthew 10:27. What I tell you in darkness, that I speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach up ye upon the housetop. Matthew 10:28. And fear not them which kill the body, but not able to kill the souls, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell.
Matthew 10:29. That blesses everyone. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father.
Matthew 10:30. But the
very
hairs till from
of
your head
are
all
numbered.
Matthew 10:30. 1.
Fear ye not.
Therefore,
ye are,
more value
than many
sparrows.
Amen. Great job, little ones, everyone. We will continue today in pages 355 to 356. Welcome to all the family that are joining us. We are in Desire of Ages, page 355. Babala.
The servant is not above his master. The prince of heaven was called Beelzebub, and his disciples will be misrepresented in like manner. But whatever the danger Christ's followers must avoid, their principles, they should scorn concealments. They cannot remain uncommitted until assured of safety in confessing the truth. Next slide.
Continuing, they are set as watchmen to warn men of their peril. The truth received from Christ must be imparted to all freely and openly. Jesus said, "What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops."
She heard that good.
Good job, everyone. Question, boys and girls. What was the Prince of Heaven called? And what were the servants of the Lord set as and sent to do? If you know the answer to the question, dear ones, blah, blah.
He was called Beelzebub, and his disciples will be
misrepresented
in like manner, and they are set as watchmen to warn men of their peril.
Praise the Lord. Very good, dear Sister Janelle. So let us learn a beautiful scripture song, dear ones, and this one is located in Psalms 112, verse 4 from the King James Version. Praise the Lord. Let us continue in our study. We are in Desire of Ages, page 355. Pabla.
Jesus himself never purchased peace by
compromise. His heart was overwhelmed with love for the whole human race, but he was never indulged to their sins. He was too much their friend to remain silent while they were purchasing a course that would ruin their souls. The souls he had purchased with his own blood, he labored that man should be true to himself, true to his higher and eternal interests. Next slide.
The servants of Christ are called the same work unless they should beware lest in seeking to prevent discord, they surrender the truth. They are to follow after the things which make for peace, Romans chapter 14, verse 19. But real peace can never be secured by compromising principle, and no man can be true to principle without exciting opposition.
Desire of Ages, page 356. But Christianity that is spiritual will be opposed by the children of disobedience. But Jesus bade his disciples, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Those who are true to God need not fear the power of Satan, nor fear the power of men, nor the enmity of Satan. In Christ, this eternal life is secure. Their only fear should be lest they surrender the truth and thus betray the trust with which God has honored them. Desire of Ages, page 56, paragraph 1.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I have another question for you, dear family. Did Jesus purchase peace by compromise? And why or why not? And are the servants of Christ called to do the same work? If you have the answer to the questions, dear one, bubble out.
No, Jesus himself never did. This heart overflowed with love for the whole human race, but he was never indulgent to their sin. He was too much their friend to remain silent while they were pursuing a
course
that would ruin their souls. And yes, they should never
compromise
principle in seeking to prevent.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's learn another beautiful scripture song together, dear ones. And this one is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 42, verses 1 through 4.
I have put my
That is a Christianity that is spiritual, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Those who are true to God need not to fear the power of man nor the enmity of Satan.
It is Satan's work to fill men's heart with doubt. He leads them to look upon God as a stern judge. He tempts them to sin and then regards themselves to vow to approach their heavenly Father or to excite his pity. The Lord understands all this. Jesus assures his disciples of God's sympathy for them in their needs and weakness. Not a sigh is breathed, not a pain felt, not a grief pierces the soul, but the throb vibrates to the Father's heart.
Amen, and praise the Lord indeed. Question, boys and girls, what is Satan's work to do with man's heart? And what does Jesus assure his disciples concerning God's sympathy for them? If you know the answer to the question, dear ones, babala.
Satan's work to fill men's hearts with doubt, leading them to look upon God as a stern judge, and in their needs and weaknesses,
not a sign is breathed,
not a pain felt, not a grief pierces the soul, but the throb
vibrates
to the Father's heart.
Desire Pages, page 256. The Bible shows us God in his high and holy place, not in a state of inactivity, not in silence and solitude, but surrounded by 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands of holy intelligences, all waiting to do his will. Through channels which we cannot discern, he is in active communication with every part of his dominion. But it is in this speck of a world, in the souls that he gave his only begotten Son to save, that his interest and the interest of all heaven is centered. God is bending from his throne to hear the cry of the oppressed. To every sincere prayer he answers, "Here am I." He uplifts the distressed and downtrodden. In all our afflictions he is afflicted. In every temptation, in every trial, the angel of his presence is near to the...
Amen. Welcome to all the precious family joining us. Question, family. How does the Bible show us God is his high and holy place? And what is God's answer to every sincere prayer? If you know the answer to this question, dear ones, blah, blah, blah.
He is in...
Active
communication
with every part
of his dominion
surrounded
by
to do his will.
Will. And
here
am I.
Good.
Am
he. Same word.
He.
Uplifts
the.
Distressed.
Good job. Let's learn yet another beautiful scripture song together, dear ones. And this one is taken from the book of Romans. Chapter 11, verse 33.
Not even a sparrow falls to the ground without his father's notice.
Good.
Satan's hatred against God leaves him to hate every object of Savior's care. He seeks to mar the hand-eye work of God and delights his destroying even the dumb creatures.
Oh, smart. You're doing great.
Because it's
continuing, it is only through God's protecting care that the birds are preserved to gladden us with their songs of joy. But he does not forget even the sparrows. Fear ye their knots. Therefore, ye are of men more value than many sparrows.
Good. Amen. I just want to read that verse that is in the slide. It's coming from Psalms 143, verse 8, from the King James Version, and it says, "Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee." And let me continue. Question, boys and girls. Where does Satan's hatred against God lead him to? And what is his promise to us regarding his protective care? When compared to many sparrows, he does not forget. If you know the answer, dear ones. Bubble up.
It leads him to hate every object of the Savior's care. He seeks to mar the
handiwork
of God, and he delights in destroying even the dumb creatures. And fear ye not, therefore ye are.
Amen. So let's learn our last hymn, and this one is entitled "His Eyes Is on a Sparrow," and our dear sister Christina will be the one to share this hymn for us.
Why should I feel discouraged? And why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. And I sing because I'm happy. And I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches. And I know he watches. I know he watches me.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And thank you, dear sister. We have come to the ending of the first section of our study. This is the second where we are going to have story time. So let all the children come close, or our dear brother Dick will be the one to narrate it.
Good morning. It's story time. I almost got carried away here. I was outside and I thought I heard my wife holler. All right, Elisha's faithfulness was rewarded. You gonna donate me your sample?
Yeah.
I get situated here. So he departed, Elijah. So he departed from, departed thence, that means from there, and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. A yoke of oxen means that there were two oxen working together. We'd call them a team of oxen or work animals. And he with the 12. That means there were 11 pairs of oxen and 11 other men plowing the field ahead of him. And he was the 12th one. And Elisha passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. In other words, Elijah threw his overcoat or something over the shoulders of Elisha. That's 1 Kings 19:19. The prophet Elijah was about to close his earthly labors. He was about to retire, but he didn't know he was to retire to heaven. He found out that later. Another was to be called to carry forward the work of that time, for that time. In his course of travel, Elijah was directed northward. For those of you who live in New York, he was told to head toward Canada. Wherefore, Elijah looked, wherever Elijah looked, the land he saw was owned by one man, a man who had not bowed the knee to Baal. He wasn't a worshiper of idols, whose heart had remained undivided in his service to God. Undivided means he didn't try to worship God and at the same time do all the bad things worldly people do. He didn't smoke, swear, drink, or watch television. The owner of the land was Shaphat. The attention of Elijah was attracted to Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who with the servants was plowing with 12 yoke or teams of oxen. He was educator, director, and worker. Elisha was. Elisha did not live in a thickly populated cities. His father was a tiller of the soil or a farmer. Far from city and court dissipation. Dissipation means doing all the wicked things your neighbors do. They drink, they smoke, they break the seventh commandment. Far from the city and courts of dissipation, Elisha had received his education. He had been trained in habits of simplicity and obedience. Hey, that's right. He was homeschooled. His parents, simplicity and obedience to his parents and to God. But though a meek and quiet spirit, Elijah had no changeable character. That means he wasn't wishy-washy. He made up a decision to do something and he stayed with it. Integrity and fidelity, that's honesty and faithfulness, and the love and fear of God were his. He had the characteristics or the abilities of a ruler, but with it all was the meekness of one who would serve. He was humble. That's rare because you don't usually find highly educated people that are humble. No, they're arrogant and uppity. They don't take time to talk to little people. Proud, that's another word for it. His mind had been exercised or trained in the little things to be faithful in whatsoever he should do, so that if God should call him to act more directly for him, he would be prepared to hear his voice. God can and does use people from all walks of life. That means poor people, middle class folks, and rich. But if you can, did we get knocked out? No. If you can learn something that will help you better serve God, do it. While we're young, it's a good thing to get educated. If you can't go to school, go to the library, borrow books, and read. The surroundings of Elijah's home were those of wealth, but he realized that in order to obtain an all-around education, he must be a constant worker in any work that needed to be done. That means he knew a lot of things. He could plow. He could keep financial records. Or keep good track of where the money was spent. He knew how to change a tire and to paint the house. He had not consented to be in any respect less informed than his father's servants. See, he knew how to do everything he asked the servants to do, and he wasn't ashamed to do it. He had learned how to serve first, that he might know how to lead, instruct, and command. Elisha stood in Elijah's place, and he who had been faithful in that which was least proved himself faithful also in much. Sons and Daughters of God, page 93. And our first verse again, so he departed thence, that means from there, and found Elijah, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elisha passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. 1 Kings 19:15. Thank you for listening.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And thank you so much, Brother Dick. So, Sister Ida, maybe we all come into you. You are in the north of Canada. Bless your heart. Next week, dear ones, we will end with part 6 of our study entitled The First Evangelist of our lesson book, The Sigh of Ages. If any one of the precious little ones or mommies and daddy would like to have closing prayer, babala.
Father God, thank God in the kingdom that we have to come to heaven and help keep us Sabbath and thank God waking us up, God and everything that you can keep us safe and thank God waking the thank you for waking the world in this name, amen.
Father God, thank you for everything you did to keep us safe. Thank you for waking us up this morning. I love you, Father God, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So next week, dear ones, by God's grace, will be May 14, 2016, and we will have the ending of our chapter. This is chapter 37, the first evangelist, but that will be part 6. We hope and pray that all the family was blessed, and may you continue enjoying the activities and discussing the beautiful care that the Lord had not only on His creatures, but also on His people. And praise God that He has the whole intelligence of the heavens to be watchful as well. God bless each and every one. Have a blessed and peaceful Sabbath, dear ones.